It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help, and can't get a hold of anyone. If you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right, a real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time, taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
Today, I sit down with former actress and now activist and author, Susie Amos Cameron. We're hanging out in one of my favorite places on earth, my vegetable garden in Maui. Long before she became an environmental advocate, Susie was discovered while living on her family farm in Oklahoma. At just 17, she signed a contract to be an Eileen Ford model in New York. Then Hollywood came calling. Susie appeared in Fandango with Kevin Costner, The Usual Suspects, and the worldwide phenomenon Titanic. She fell in love with and married the film's director, James Cameron, 19 years ago. Susie left acting to focus on her family and raising the couple's 5 children. Now she is a champion for what she calls sustainable values, from the clothes we wear to the food we eat and even how we educate our children. Susie and her sister Rebecca founded Muse, the first school in the United States to be 100% solar-powered with zero waste and an organic plant-based lunch program for every student. In her new book, The OMD Plan, Susie challenges readers to eat at least one plant-based meal a day. She says this one small shift could literally change our world.
You gave me a wonderful excuse to come to Hawaii.
Yes, lovely. May I say, I see you, which is one of my favorite expressions from your husband's James Cameron avatar.
Yes.
I think it's one of the most beautifully spiritual greetings you can give to a person is I see you.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. So I see you, and I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, me too. I see you too.
I think it's incredible that you and I both grew up on a farm. You grew up on a farm in Oklahoma.
I did.
I grew up on a tiny little piece of a farm that my grandmother had in Mississippi, and now we're both back to farming.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Well, so welcome to my garden.
Thanks. Amazing.
Nice.
Amazing.
It's good. It's good to be here. And I was so impressed with this idea of one meal a day to save your health and save the planet. It's the reason why I wanted to talk to you, because I thought, for so many people, the idea of like changing your entire lifestyle and, you know, becoming a vegan or becoming vegetarian is overwhelming and people just shut down. But what we can do is OMD.
Right.
OMD, one meal a day.
Don't go anywhere. More to come after this short break.
No two travelers are exactly alike, and that means no two trips should be either. Texas' vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities allow for an infinite number of different travel experiences. Are you a beach person? Well, you'll be having fun under the sun with Texas' 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies can't get enough of Texas' world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually-led trip matched to their unique interests. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters, yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Shop by price, like 25 and under to 100 and under. Category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted and for grandma. Get top gifts like Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Stories should never be about us, without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
So you and James and your family were doing the thing that so many of us are doing, like eating organic, healthy, making sure your beef was grass-fed and your chickens are happy when they're laying those eggs.
Exactly.
And feeling good about your contribution to the planet and what you were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had been running in environmental circles forever, it felt like, decades. And yeah, we were eating everything organic. We even had our own goats up on the ranch in, in Santa Barbara. So we had goat yogurt and goat cheese and goat milk. And we just thought we were doing everything completely right. And then we watched Forks Over Knives.
And when was that, 2000?
2012.
12,
so it's been 7 years.
Yes.
And it completely changed our life. I mean, after we watched it, I was actually at home, and a friend had told me about it. If somebody tells me to read a book or watch a DVD.
I know that.
Yeah.
So I told you to read a book and you had like read it. You are the greatest reward to a book lover because I told you to read A New Earth. And then in like a week, you're like, I read it and I did.
I've read it and given out multiple copies already. I was listening to the podcast actually as I was flying over. Amazing.
Yeah, the podcast is good.
Amazing. Anyway, I had had Forks Over Knives for probably about 9 months, and I finally grabbed it, went down to the gym, and was on the treadmill, and after about 10 minutes, I just had to get off and sit down. I felt gut punched because I felt like we had been advertised to our whole lives that we absolutely have to have meat to be healthy and had to have milk for strong bones. I mean, growing up, my mom was, you girls
Calcium, yes, absolutely.
You girls drink your milk.
You think you're going to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame if you don't.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Anyway, I actually took the DVD. I went up to the house and I found Jim and I said, babe, I need an hour and a half of your time tomorrow. And he was like, oh, okay, well, where are we going? And I said, well, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to watch a movie. And he said, oh, well, I love movies. What are we going to watch?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to tell you. I just want to watch it. And then we'll have a conversation about it. And we watched the whole thing. And from the time we were in the TV room to the kitchen, he said we shouldn't have any more animal products. So 24 hours later, the kitchen was cleaned out. But that's just how we roll.
Yeah, I was saying, that is a response.
Not very many people roll
like
that.
Yeah, like you've now cleaned out all of the meat products in your house.
Meat, dairy, everything. Everything that had animal products.
What happened to your goats? That we're making the nice goat cheese.
About 48 hours later, we shut down the production, but we kept the goats because they're super cute and they're good for fire abatement.
Yeah.
So,
eating all the stuff, yeah.
Exactly. So we did that.
So you became completely plant-based.
Exactly.
In a day.
And born again about it.
Yeah.
So we were up on our soapbox constantly telling people, you just have to do it. Go 100%.
Yeah.
And people would see us coming. They'd turn around and
absolutely.
Go running.
Oh, my God.
The other
Here come
way.
The cameras.
Exactly.
Yes. So I read that since this 7 years, where you all completely removed all the animal products from your home, that you nor Jim have had a cold or flu since that time?
Right. No.
Yeah, and you attribute that to
Absolutely.
This change in lifestyle with food.
Jim used to get, you know, 3 or 4 colds a year. He'd always get the flu. And, you know, when you're in a house full of kids, they're the perfect viri vectors. Mm-hmm. So you're always picking up something from them. Mm-hmm. And we just stay healthy. I mean, it's my teenagers. They can't keep up with us.
How old are the children? You're raising 5 children. Twins, Claire and Quinn, Elizabeth Rose, Jasper, Josephine.
Yep. Yeah. So Jasper is 29 and expecting his first baby.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to be a grandma in August. So I'm madly crocheting my blanket. With Josephine is 26. We call her Joza. We have Claire, who is 18, and Quinn is 15, and Rose is 12 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, especially parents, can relate to what you write about being busy and feeling overwhelmed. You write, I know how hard it can be to get through the day, hurtling from one meeting, deadline, orthodontist appointment, parent-teacher conference, errand, after-school activity to another. I know how many competing demands we have in our lives, each one battling the other for our time. Yeah, am I speaking your language, folks? Our attention, our energy. Sometimes simply getting through the day feels like a Herculean task. And whether we're parents or not, we all take care of so many people and problems all the time. Heaping one more consideration onto our shoulders may just be too much. Oh, great. Now I have to take care of the planet too, you say, especially when it just seems so huge and unsolvable. So for everyone watching who says, you know, sometimes it's hard to even get through the day and going through drive-thru just helps you, what do you want to say to them?
I hear you.
I hear you and I see you.
I do. I mean, it's, I didn't really start going to health food stores until it was right before I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law at the time took me into Mrs. Gooch's, which was the health food store in California.
Oh, I remember Mrs. Gooch's.
Oh, it was the best.
Y'all remember Mrs. Gooch's? Yeah.
Oh, it was the best. And anyway, I went in there and she started talking to me not only about eating organic foods, but in the lotions I was putting on my body and hair products.
What's in them, yes. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
So my whole kitchen and household, you know, everything under my sink and in my shower and everything and fridge, everything changed from that moment on. And when I got pregnant, obviously I was just like ridiculously careful about everything I was putting, you know, growing this little person, this little being. Mm-hmm. And then when I had Jasper, you have this thing, and I'm sure all moms feel this, you don't want anything that's not pure touching this brand new little being.
Yeah.
You know, so it just took
it to a whole...
Because
it's so pure, you just want to keep it clean.
Exactly.
You want to keep everything that they're eating clean. You want it clean, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it just took it to a whole nother level. And then when he started eating food and you know, I just was, I was so careful with how I fed him and how I introduced him to veggies. You know, I do hear a lot of moms saying, well, my kids will only eat pizza and donuts. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, what do you feed them? Pizza and donuts.
Yeah.
But if you start with, I mean, I think that's a big thing. It's like, how do you get your kids to eat veggies? But I was always doing, you know, these big plates with like 3 different dipping sauces. Or Jen Jasper actually loves salads. But if you start them on that when they're really young and you give them fun utensils, you can give them chopsticks or, you know, fun little... cocktail picks.
Yes, I see it with, yeah.
Yeah, yes, things like that.
And strawberry is a big dessert.
Yes.
And a strawberry is, to get a strawberry is a big dessert.
Yeah.
So, one plant-based meal a day does what to help change the planet?
Changing one of your meals a day to a plant-based meal saves 200,000 gallons of water and the carbon equivalent of driving from Los Angeles to
New York.
That's one person. So think about multiplying that.
Everybody
out.
Just did that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you're saying you're not even trying to convert the whole world. You're just saying start with the one meal.
Exactly. You mentioned one time that it was graspable.
Yes.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, that's the feedback that
that's why we're having this conversation, because that is graspable. My mind can hold that. I can receive that. That's a doable thing. I can turn that into a fun exercise for mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah.
One meal a day.
It's a really easy switch. I mean, it's something as simple as putting almond milk or soy milk on your cereal in the morning instead of cow's milk, uh-huh. or having a grilled bean and veggie burrito uh-huh. instead of a beef burrito, or, you know, having tomato sauce on your pasta instead of meat sauce, or using the, you know, the Beyond Crumbles.
Yes.
Are amazing. People can't tell the difference. They
yes.
can't tell the
yes.
difference.
Yes, or the Beyond Meat.
Yeah,
yes.
exactly.
Yes.
Before we went plant-based, I was working at a very, probably the largest environmental NGO in the U.S. and learned all about, you know, the environmental issues, climate change, dead zones, biodiversity loss, deforestation, melting glaciers, extinction,
yeah.
all of these things. And I would drive home from these meetings just depressed and full of no hope, really no hope. Because I'm going to start crying. yeah. There wasn't an answer.
Yeah.
There didn't seem to be a solution that especially one person could do. You know, we talked about renewable energies and we talked about all of those things. And I'd come home and kind of gather myself up and walk through the door and be the cheerleader, like, we're going to get it all cleaned up and it's going to be okay. And, you know, Jim was like,
not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And I used to wake up with dread every morning because I would think about not only our children growing up in the world, but all of the children of the world and what kind of a planet were they going to grow up on.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank. Some things should be boring, like banking. Boring is safe and reliable. You don't want your bank to be entertaining. Entertaining is for podcasts with inspiring celebrity guests, not banks. PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is the service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And it wasn't long after we went plant-based that Jim actually started educating me on the environmental issues around animal agriculture. And there was one day where I was in one of these meetings and I just had this like aha moment.
Yeah.
Because animal ag is a second leading cause of greenhouse gases and climate change, but more than all transportation combined, every car, every airplane, every bus, everything. So fall of 15...
Explain how that works to people who don't get that.
Okay. Well, the methane alone, and people like to, you know, because farts are funny.
Yeah.
But it isn't that, actually. It actually comes from their respiration. So the methane that's coming from their respiration is a huge thing, and the amount of water and feed or grass or whatever it is that it takes to grow an animal is enormous. So, I mean, just with the environmental issues around animal agriculture, you can actually connect the dots back to dead zones, biodiversity loss, deforestation, ocean acidification, I mean, all of these different things. And we were walking on the beach about 2 months after we went plant-based. And you know Jim. I mean, he's kind of a doomsday kind of guy. If you look at his movies, you know, he's like Terminator and Aliens and Avatar and Titanic. It's like death and destruction. He doesn't use the word hope. When we first started dating, he talked about the fact that, because I don't use hope. I don't say hope. He's got a T-shirt that says hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
And where's it?
Well, that is true. It's not.
So we were walking on the beach, and he turned to me and he said, you know, babe, for the first time in my life, I have hope. And I almost fell into the surf. He said, the more people we can inspire.
Oh.
to eat plant-based, the more we can move the needle on climate change.
Ah, Jim, very good.
And it was in that moment that I thought, you know what? That's what my...
And that's what you're doing right now.
That's what I'm doing. And I wanted to write a book and create content and do documentaries and all of that. So it is that moment. I'm just getting goosebumps. Mm-hmm. But that moment really led me to exactly what I'm doing now.
Wow.
At the school that I founded, Muse School, with my sister, Rebecca Amos, which is out in California, after we learned about the environmental devastation that animal agriculture causes on the environment, we actually looked at each other and said, we can't call ourselves an environmental school and still be serving animal products.
We recycle, we reduce, we reuse, we compost. We reserve water, we use solar panels, we use natural light.
This school is absolutely a school of the future. I feel like we are light years ahead of the rest of the schools around here. The kindergartners are not just learning their ABCs and how to write, but they're also learning about how to save the planet and what we can do to help make a difference.
Every time you eat plant-based, you cut your water footprint and your carbon footprint in half.
We save 9,066 gallons of water for one day.
A few years back, Muse School decided to go plant-based. And really, I mean, we're doing it for many different reasons, primarily for environmental reasons, to reduce the carbon footprint of each of the students and faculty that work here at Muse, basically to help nurture the earth as well as the person who's practicing the one meal a day diet.
I want to talk more, if we can, about the school, Muse. It's called the Muse School, M-U-S-E, Muse, as in you are my muse. The very first K through 12 school in the country to be 100% solar powered, zero waste, with a 100% organic plant-based lunch program. You are leading the way. And also now trying to get parents on board with their kids to eat well in other parts of the country, and you're going to be building more schools.
Yes. Yeah. So we actually launched Muse Global last...
And was that hard at first? Because I'm sure all of those parents grew up with the doctrine, we've got to have our milk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, that's actually where OMD was born. So when we decided to go plant-based, we took 18 months, and we brought in doctors and climate scientists and authors and chefs and athletes to spend the day with the children, going into each room, speaking to them in a developmentally appropriate way. And then at nighttime, we had all the grown-ups together, gave them beautiful plant-based food and a glass of wine, and, you know, we'd have this speaker series.
Introduce them to it in a way.
Exactly.
That they could receive it.
It's about education.
Yes.
More than anything.
Yeah.
To let them understand that it's, you know, that you...
It's information, and it's educating in a way that people know that it doesn't mean I have to be punished.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And that you're getting the right nutrients,
right,
and amounts of protein and calcium and all of those things, essential fatty acids, all of those things. So we did that, and we thought, you know, we had committees. We had food committees with the children. We had,
yeah,
food committees with the parents and with the teachers, and had screenings of all of, you know, forks,
yeah,
over knives and all of that. And we went 100% plant-based in the fall of 2015, and we lost 50% of our families.
Really?
Yeah. It was a mass exodus. We quickly regained our enrollment, and we've since surpassed it. We start at 2 years old and go all the way to 18. But people now come, they move from around the United States
just
to go to
the
school because it's plant-based. And we have a couple of families from Europe now.
But you had some people leave, you know, lost 50% because they think this is too kooky for us, or this
they
is
did.
Too much.
Yes. They did. I mean, I think we were somewhat ahead of our time.
Yeah.
Because now it is becoming very, very mainstream, and people are realizing it.
So this is the kind of school you dream of. We began Muse with the belief that true learning is possible when children are permitted to engage in their passions. We articulated a mission, inspiring and preparing young people to live consciously with themselves, one another, and the planet, with a focus on a sustainable campus. We knew we needed to go 100% plant-based to truly model a 100% sustainable and environmentally focused school, And while we'd always thought we were serving these kids the best possible food, we now realize we were unintentionally poisoning them and the planet. So I want to know, what impact has a plant-based model had on the students?
They all know why they're eating plant-based foods every single day. They even have these little competitions between the classes of how much water they're saving and how much carbon they're saving. And they'll even, you know, what's really great is they end up going home and infecting their parents.
Yeah.
So we get calls from their parents saying, you know, I need recipes. How do I compost? We want to put in a garden.
Because you've taught the kids how to grow their own food. One of the things you say in OMD, the OMD plan, is that you've affected the kids on a soul level. They've accepted this on a soul level. What does that mean?
They have, because us grown-ups, you know, when we are doing good things for the environment.
Yeah.
You know, we pat ourselves on the back because we're driving a hybrid or an electric car, because we're cycling, because we're changing our life, whatever we're doing.
We're like, aren't we?
Exactly.
Yes,
we're doing such great things.
Yeah.
But it's when you start with children when they're little, it's just part of their fabric.
Yeah.
They just don't even think twice about it. And we have 150 raised beds between the two campuses now, so they grow probably 80% of the produce that they eat every single day. They learn how to grow it, harvest it, prepare it.
I can't imagine what that does with children.
It's amazing. It's amazing because we have families that show up, they kind of first day of school, they're like, my child doesn't eat anything green, so good luck. And within a month, they're eating, you know, string beans off of the vines, or, you know, at lunchtime, you know, with flaxseed oil. It becomes a really healthy peer pressure.
Wow.
Ultimately. But we were still, you know, getting pushback. And our head of school, Jeff King, got very frustrated one day. And he said, people, you can feed them whatever you want to in the morning and whatever you want to in the evening. It's one meal a day. It's OMD. So Muse is actually the home of OMD. That's where it all started.
Wow.
And then when they heard that, everybody kind of relaxed. And it just was this, like, moment of, wow, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that change is very hard, especially when you're dealing with people's children. When I first introduced meditation at my school, I had a lot of parents who were like, wholly upset. This was in 2007. Mm-hmm. I don't want my child levitating. I don't think they're going to levitate. We're just trying to get them still for a few moments, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So you recently announced that Muse is going to be opening schools in China at the end of this year and to expand to other U.S. cities. I think that is so radical.
So we will have 5 schools open in China by the first quarter of 20. And we're in conversation with Singapore and India, and we've got, and the UK, and we've got multiple locations around the US. We've got Austin and Florida, and we're talking to San Francisco, Denver. So it started happening a lot faster than we thought.
Yeah.
So my sister and I are kind of going, buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah, yeah.
But the cool thing is that it will have all of the same philosophy, passion and interest-based learning. It will all be plant-based. So we will be spreading this word for children and creating an experience for children around the world that you really can't get anywhere else.
So now you've done exactly the same thing that you and your husband were on the beach walking and talking about that day. You've brought a sense of hopefulness to the planet in a way that you never even imagined by just following this seed that was planted within you.
Yeah. I don't wake up with a pit in my stomach anymore, because I know that it'll make a difference. It's making a difference.
I know the answer to this question is part of what OMD is all about. What change do you hope to see happen in the world?
Gosh, that's a multi-layered change. However, I think that it does happen. I think there's something that happens when you go plant-based. You know, not only do you have all of these health benefits, your taste buds change. I mean, everything changes, and you have this clarity that happens, this energy. And I've talked to so many people that have gone plant-based, and I do think that it almost takes you to a level of being more open and being more awake. Yeah. and being more conscious.
On every level.
On every level.
Like when you start being conscious about what you're putting into your mouth and how you're eating it and where your food comes from, it also makes you more aware and more conscious of other things, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And what you're saying is all you need is just to step into the path of one meal a day.
Right.
OMD. Yeah. And I know you have so many delicious recipes.
It's OMD is an invitation. It's an invitation in to just dip your toe in mm-hmm. to the plant-based lifestyle. And it has tons of recipes, meal plans, shopping lists. But it's real food for real people, and there are tons of kitchen hacks for busy moms, how to make things easier.
Well, it feels like a love offering that you're trying to give to the planet. Can you tell us when you have felt that for yourself, a true offering mm-hmm. of grace that has come to you?
Oh, gosh, so many. So many. Probably, I just got goosebumps again. Probably the first one that came down my lane was when I was 17, and I was on a completely different path. I had a horse that I was riding, and all my girlfriends were riding, and I thought that just looked, I loved that little saddle and, you know, the hat and, you know,
the whole thing.
The whole thing.
I want the outfit.
So I started babysitting, 50 cents an hour back then.
Me too, for right? 50 cents an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were the same generation where that was the deal, 50 cents an
people
hour.
People get like 30 bucks an hour. I'm like, what?
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. They do. So I did that. And then my Aunt Betsy knew a woman in town who had this modeling school. But I mean, like the old time where you put the book on your head.
Oh, my.
So my sister Paige and I took modeling classes together, and she's 4 years older than I am. And then we started booking fashion shows.
I went to charm school, Susie, where we had to have the book on our head.
It's the same kind of thing.
I get it.
Although they showed us how to put false eyelashes on, too.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This is funny.
But we laughed. It was so much fun. And then we did these fashion shows together, and we both had very long red hair, so they called us the Amos twins, even though we were 4 years apart. But I could make more money in 2 hours than I could in 6 months of babysitting.
Of course.
And around that same time, I was learning how to fly. So I come from a long line of aviators, and my daddy taught me how to fly. And this friend of my aunt's called up after she had seen some pictures that my brother took of me, my little brother, Charlie, had taken of me, and Eileen Ford wanted to meet me. So next thing I know, I'm in an airplane with my mom.
Somebody took a picture of you in Oklahoma, and Eileen Ford, and it got to Eileen Ford?
Yeah, so this woman from the modeling agency.
Eileen Ford is like the most, at the time, you know, the most famous modeling agent in the world.
Yeah. So, and I didn't even know that.
You didn't even know what that was.
I didn't know what it was.
Oh, that is an act of grace.
And so off to New York we went, and I was just like, cool, we're going to New York. We went there, we had interviews with Eileen, and we had set up with Elite and Wilhelmina, but we went to Eileen first, and we were sitting in there, and she asked my mom. She told me I was a terrible model. And then she asked if she could speak to my mom. So I left the room. And when I came back, if you stay in New York for 7 days, we were supposed to leave after four. If you stay in New York for 7 days and you don't go see Wilhelmina and Elite, I'd like to take you on the Merv Griffin show and introduce you as the face of the 80s. So
what?
Meanwhile, here I am, this ridiculously shy girl from Oklahoma. I went on the Merv Griffin show, and he asked me all kinds of questions about horseback riding and flying airplanes and Oklahoma, and I went...
You couldn't even talk.
I didn't talk.
Wow.
I didn't talk. So, needless to say, I did not... Everything went from there. I met an agent from Paris, and then I ended up moving to Paris for 3 years.
Okay, that's grace. That's grace. That's grace.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, can I go soul to soul with you on a few things?
Go, baby.
Okay. What have you encountered that you felt was insurmountable?
Writing a book.
Really?
I didn't go to school for writing. I didn't, you know, I don't have letters behind my name. And I just pulled together a team of, you know, brain trust of doctors and a brain trust of climate scientists. I had so much fun, I have to say. Just
because you love learning and you learned as you were teaching us.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when is the last time you were filled with awe?
This morning when I drove up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back down the mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, just driving up and watching the terrain change. Mm-hmm. But I think every day is awe-inspiring, really.
I think one of the reasons you have such reverence is because you have learned how to be true to yourself. So do you have advice for people who are living a false life? That's a tough one, but I know you can handle it.
It is tough, and certainly, you know, even though, you know, Jim is in the entertainment industry, and I certainly used to be, our life doesn't feel part of that for some reason. It's, we don't do that, and I think a lot of people...
He makes the movies, and then he comes home, and then there is life.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And I even feel like on his movie sets, it's life. You know, he wrote me last night talking about the family that he's created in New Zealand. He's over there shooting.
Shooting Avatar 1, 2, 3, and, 2, 3, and 4? Yeah.
And 5.
And 5.
Actually, 5 will kind of come later, but it's already written and ready to
we
go.
We can hardly wait!
Exactly.
Yes.
I know, I can't either.
You actually know what's gonna happen, though, right? Because you've read them all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. But in terms of, you know, living a false life, you know, it's what people are driving, what they're wearing, who they're hanging out with, you know, all of those things. And you just said it, if you're true to yourself, your life will bring abundance. Abundance will look different in every person's life, but abundance of now, abundance of reality, abundance of connection, abundance of, you know, presence.
What was your greatest fear that you were able to overcome, and what allowed you to overcome it?
Oh my goodness. I used to be painfully, painfully shy, like horrible. And I...
To the point where people thought something was wrong with them when they were around you because you were so shy, yeah?
Yeah, I just didn't talk. You know, I can't, no, people can't shut me up. But I hated school. I hated it. I loved learning. I still love learning. I'm an avid reader like you are. I just felt like I was always this, I never felt like I belonged.
So what allowed you to overcome that?
So I think just being out in the world and to
modeling,
be a model.
Yeah, and then acting.
And then acting. You know, that was a beginning of it.
But acting, you can still be very shy. You just get to be somebody else.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, even doing... And I loved it. I loved acting. I loved being on a set. I loved doing theater.
But you decided to leave it after meeting your husband.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did.
Because?
I was married to an actor before that, Sam Robards and I. He's Jasper's dad. Mm-hmm. We had lots of fun together. We're actually one big happy family now. But we were constantly apart. And I said to Jim, I said, look, if we're going to be together, one of us is going to have to quit working. And, oh, by the way, I want to have a bunch of kids. So it was a perfect segue. I mean, I've kind of done that in my life. I stopped modeling cold turkey to study acting. And then I stopped acting cold turkey to become a mom. And when you realize that you're on a journey, you know, and totally talks about it, you know, it just opens up.
Yes.
And you have these opportunities and you take them.
Which brings me to this question.
Yes.
What has been your greatest awakening?
I started having dreams, prophetic dreams, when I was 22 that scared the ever-living, you know, what out of me. And when I was in my early 30s, and I didn't tell anybody about them because they were scary. I would dream something and then it would happen, and it was mostly about people's health. Mm-hmm. And when I was in my early 30s, I met an amazing woman who started talking to me about it and giving me books to read about dreams and
being, what it all meant, yeah.
Being conscious, yeah. And being awake and all of that. So I think that was the first moment that I realized that there was something. I think I always felt like there was something bigger than us. But I couldn't put my finger on it. I grew up in a very religious household, but I never felt that feeling when I was sitting in church. And I was used to tell my mom, I was like, well, why can't I go sit on top of a mountain, mm-hmm. and feel at one? But this last spring, I picked up, which I shared with you too, I picked up Michael Singer's books, and then you encouraged me to read Eckhart's books. Uh-huh. And it's almost like it's like on steroids now. It's just uh-huh. gone to a whole uh-huh. other level of being present and reverence.
Do you call it anything? Do you call it God or spiritual consciousness, or does it matter for you?
Yeah, I don't think it matters. Uh-huh. I don't think it matters. It really is just about being present. The word that has come up more than anything in the last 6 months is reverence.
Reverence.
Reverence. And I just keep thinking, it's like, when will humans start to have reverence, not only for one another, because you think of all the horrific things that humans do to each other, but for the plants and the animals, all of the things that are alive. When is that reverence going to happen? I feel like people are waking up. You and Eckhart talk about that it's happening more and more and more.
Which is a word he uses too. And what is so extraordinary is that if you live in a space of reverence for the rest of the world, for the people, for the plants, then that is given back to you. You have this revered life, actually.
I feel that.
Yes.
I feel so lucky and so
grateful. Yes, I feel that too. Yeah. I feel that too. What is the question or the mystery that sits in your mind that you hope to have answered in your lifetime? Is there one?
I would love, I've had this conversation with Jim so many times. I would love to know, I guess scientifically, why and how someone can have a prophetic dream. Like, how can you dream something and then it happens? There are a lot of conversations around, you know, multi-dimensions and mm-hmm. all this kind of, you know, mm-hmm. fairly woo-woo kind of stuff, but it's like, how do you explain that? How do you, what is that? Or consciousness or soul, mm-hmm. you know? I talked, you know, Jim actually is very vocal at saying he's an atheist, mm-hmm. which cracks me up, really.
Yeah.
Because he's like Mr. Spirituality.
He is Mr. Spirituality, putting out these films that show us the essence of what it means, and then he says he's an atheist.
Exactly.
I know, the first time I interviewed him, I went, I don't get that.
Yeah. But he wants the science.
Yes.
He wants the science, because I talked to him about consciousness and about mm-hmm. the soul and dreams, and he's like, there's no science.
And yet he taught us, I see you.
I know.
Yeah. Which is one of the highest consciousnesses we can have.
It is.
Yes. It is. So how would you describe a well-lived life? What are the signs and attributes of a well-lived life?
I think the quote I like the best is, I don't have it perfectly, but it's, the best thing in life mm-hmm. is to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. And going through life and meeting people and, you know, finding real joy and real love for people and having it come back in return is, I think, that's a well-lived life.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving us a path in to dip our toes in.
Yeah.
Thank you. One meal a day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And this is a camera.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.